Going to take a look now at cameras and lenses and digital and film and taking pictures and all the new bells and whistles that are out there today with Brian Carlos, store manager for the camera company. It's located on Odana Road in Madison, Wisconsin. He's been a regular guest of ours for quite a while now. Always fun to have him with us. And certainly if you have some questions about what to buy or how to do it, how to take those pictures, or if you've got a problem with a camera that you're using currently and wonder how to resolve it, why, now's a good time to call in. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, or email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Brian Carlos, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Larry.
Busy time of the year for you folks?
Oh, yes. Very, very, very busy. You know, both at work and actually out of it, because it's my favorite time of year to get a camera out. Seems like there's always beautiful light to take a picture and no reason to stay inside and have to use a camera flash for a change.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And when we're thinking about it, I'm an early riser, and I'm up early at usually around 5:15 in the morning or so. I go out and water the flowers when they need it and that sort of thing. And I love the light conditions in that early morning as the sun's rising.
Oh, it's the perfect time. It is a beautiful, beautiful time of day to take pictures, especially that first couple hours the sun is up, and the last couple of hours is usually pretty good too. But I particularly like it in the morning too. Yeah. Although most of my favorite subjects are usually sleeping at that time of day, which is okay too.
I know what you mean. Let's go to Beth in Richland Center. Beth, hi to you.
Well, good morning. My goodness, this is incredibly timely for me.
Good.
As I have been cudgeling my brains for a couple of days, trying to remember what variety of little camera it was I had many years ago. I'm talking, 25 years or more ago, that would fit in the palm of one's hand. I believe I had to decide how to focus it. It was not automatic, and the lens would collapse into the body of the camera. It was wonderful for traveling. I bought it from some people in Alaska, friends of my aunt's, and then when I was traveling, some unspeakable person stole my little camera. You saw that one coming.
Oh.
The worst part about a story like that is the person who stole the camera probably had no idea what they were getting.
Right.
And not only did you lose something of value, they probably just thought it was a piece of junk and threw it away in the end.
Oh, heavens, that is awful. At least I like to think of those people taking pictures and having things go wrong with their photos.
Yes, because they probably couldn't figure out how to use it. But I think I know exactly what camera you're talking about.
Oh, goody.
I think it was a Rollei 35, I bet.
Oh, you know, you might be right, but at least I can pursue that.
Sure.
It was wonderful. It took larger pictures, and it was a little sweetie pie, and I've never seen anything like that since.
Well, one thing Rollei did is they put exceptionally good lenses on those cameras, and that was kind of the trick with those. There are actually still some of those available on the used market, and if you find one in working order, and people who own those usually do take pretty good care of them, you can still be in luck and get great, great pictures out of them.
You are my hero today.
Thanks a lot for calling, Beth. And, of course, Beth, as you probably know, there are a lot of cameras out there right now that will fit in the palm of your hand. Brian?
Yes, there are. And they, in essence, have retracting lenses, too, not quite like what you were describing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Canon has an entire series that just celebrated its 10th anniversary. They call the Elf because of its diminutive size.
Thanks again for calling, Beth. Steve in Milwaukee, your turn now. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've got a question for Brian about using a spotting scope as a telephoto lens with a camera adapter on a digital SLR.
Sure. Certainly very doable. Now, do you have a digital SLR yet, or are you looking for one specifically to do that with?
I've got the digital SLR. It's a Canon Rebel, and I don't have a spotting scope yet, but I'd like to buy one for a wildlife viewing, and I thought I could kill two birds with one stone. I could get a spotting scope, and then I wouldn't have to spend the extra money for the telephoto lens.
Well, there are some very big differences between spotting scopes and telephoto lenses. But digiscoping, as they call it, has become incredibly popular from the time the first compact digital cameras became readily available. And many spotting scopes today already come with camera adapters. Just be very careful the scope you get. If it doesn't come with one, at least has one available for it. For instance, some of the relatively inexpensive scopes and some of the better ones we have in our store actually come with camera adapters. And I know, for instance, two companies that also specialize in cameras and make the most wonderful optics on the market, Nikon and Leica, have scope attachments for their scopes also.
And those are compatible with the digital? I mean, I can screw it right into the lens?
You're going to need one further accessory along with the adapter that's specific to that particular scope, and that's what they call a T-adapter. It's basically the lens mount, so it's a lens mount that matches your camera.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. There are some ins and outs of doing digiscoping, but it's a wonderful adventure, and you can get a lot more magnification, a lot more telephoto effect than you can any other way.
Excellent. That's just what I'm after. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Sarah in Madison, your turn. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
I have, such an elementary question after that fellow. I have a digital camera, and I lent it to a friend, and the cord that you hook up to put it into your computer,
sure.
The USB port?
Yes.
Well, he broke the tines, that go into the computer. So the camera's okay, but it will communicate with my computer.
Okay. The camera's okay, though?
Pardon me?
The camera's okay, though?
The camera's fine.
Oh,
and as long as I take the memory card out and put it in my computer every time I'm downloading photos, I have no problem.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, am I really putting the memory card or the camera at risk by that manipulation?
No, not at all, as a matter of fact. There's one little further step I want to recommend to you, since you are putting it in the card reader, and it's kind of nice that you've got one built into your computer, because many people like me have to buy that as an accessory.
Oh.
Actually, using that card reader in your computer is a little bit faster than actually using the camera.
Okay,
it may not be a huge difference, but it is a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But there's two other things to keep in mind. When you erase your pictures, it's usually best not to use the computer to erase the pictures off the memory card.
Oh.
But actually use your camera. And actually, every once in a while, instead of using the camera's erase all function, if you go into your camera setup menu, and this is generally where it is on all brands of camera, there's a little function that formats the memory card.
Mm-hmm.
Which totally wipes out all of the information on the memory card. Because when you plug that little card into your computer, you don't really compromise it, but the computer leaves little bits and pieces of information on there.
Okay,
things
on the
that
memory
can,
card.
Yeah, things that can confuse the camera slightly, maybe, and take up space of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But using that little card reader isn't going to harm your camera at all.
So I can't make him replace my camera for me then, huh? I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very
you
much.
Might be
for
all right.
To, but... you could replace the card.
Yeah. Yes,
no, because it's the times in the camera that broke.
I guess it's not
important, and that's really what I'm
that
glad
is,
to know.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, that would be a larger issue if you wanted to fix that. Brian in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, good.
I had a question about a Sony camcorder that I bought. It was a model that came out in the spring. It's a hard drive camcorder.
Sure.
I have problems. It seems whenever you're taking photographing anything indoors,
mm-hmm.
and it even seems like the light conditions are bright enough that everything looks just fine, and you're focused in on a subject, and they'll be up there talking. The camera starts to go in and out of focus repeatedly on the subject, even though you're not the subject. Isn't moving far or anything, just standing there talking, and it'll go in and out and out of focus.
Sure, okay.
Repeatedly, and I haven't had the problem outside, and what kind of scared me, I did, after I bought the camera, which it was a new model, or slightly new model, I read a review that someone had written saying that the camera has focusing problems, and I don't know. I have a 4-year warranty. I don't know if it's worth sending the camera in to get them to look at it, or if there's anything I can do as far as that goes.
Well, first of all, with any kind of problem, make sure you do have them check it out at least once before that warranty is up, because all camera repairs these days are fairly specialized and fairly expensive because of it. And I think if you have it indoors primarily to tape speakers who aren't moving, who are basically standing at a rostrum, let's say, speaking, you're in really good luck, because what you can probably do with that camera, and how exactly you'll do it, I don't know, you switch it to a manual focus, and all you have to do is get it to focus on that one point, and you'll be in it won't be refocusing in and out during that speech or whatever. And the reason this is happening to you, even though to your eyes the light seems fairly bright, autofocus systems in cameras like that, as in just about all of the compact digital and SLR digital cameras these days, are based on seeing contrast. And as the light gets a little bit lower, as sort of like it happens at dusk when we're outside, the contrast starts to disappear, and that becomes much more problematic for your camera than it does for your eyes. So that's probably why you're having a little bit of a problem with that. That, and also where the camera's actually looking, how wide an area it sees when it does focus. So I would, if it has options for playing around with like a narrow area and a wide area focus, or moving the focus point around, I'd play with that also. But understand how to switch on your manual focus option, because that could just bail you out totally in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You think it's worth getting them to check it out, though, the camera?
I would try those two options first, the moving the autofocus points around, or the way the autofocus behaves, and switching it to manual before I totally panicked on it, because it could very well be that's where it's coming from. Because that's how autofocus systems work. Although, if you don't need it for a while, that's the other big drawback with repairs. It's going to have to be with the manufacturer's repair service or whoever's repair service for probably a couple weeks, imagine, at least. So,
yeah, it's like a 4-year extended warranty, and they send it to a place to do it.
Sure.
But I also would use it for taking pictures of my kids in plays and things like that, which would probably take the whole stage up, and I think there's still some problems using it for that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
I think I might have them take a look at it.
Okay.
Just to make sure everything is functioning properly.
Yep.
All right.
Good luck, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Brian Carlis, our guest today, store manager for the Camera Company in Madison, Wisconsin. On Odana Road, I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking cameras and lenses, digital and film now with our guest, Brian Carlis, store manager of the Camera Company, located on Odana Road in Madison. Actually, if you want to go take a look at their website, it's cameracompany.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Cameracompany.com. You can take a look at it right there. And if you want to ask him a question, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234, or in Madison, at 263-1890. And Brian, how do you solve the complaint of missing the perfect shot because my camera is too slow?
There's two answers to the question. One's a little disingenuous, and the other one involves a little bit of technique.
Okay.
And the first one is that in many cases, if you've had a digital camera for a few years, you may simply need a new one. Yesterday's digital cameras were very slow. I know, for instance, that I had a digital camera I liked, a compact digital that I liked very, very much, because you could do all sorts of really neat things with it. But as soon as my wife and I had a child, it went, because it was just much too slow, even for an infant. And so eventually it was a new camera. The other, though, involves a little bit of technique, and one that I think people want the fastest camera, and they start to ignore, even though the technology is great, they ignore some of the technique, which is the one that I practice whenever I pick up any camera, even if I'm not prepared to take a picture, is pre-focusing the camera. That takes, in today's cameras, that takes longer than anything else. Also, you're making sure you're getting it focused exactly where you want. So that little shutter release button, by holding that down part way, and it takes a little practice to make sure you're pushing it down part way with your camera, not all the way down, is even before I know I'm going to take a picture, I've got the camera focused where the picture might happen. So it just takes a little practice and a little technique, because even though my compact digital camera that I have now is pretty darn quick, I still get much better pictures and get the expression I want in the picture I want by having it focused on the right place before I want to take it.
All right, let's go to Muhammad in Madison now. Muhammad, hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My barber gifted me with a Bell and Howell auto-load movie camera, and my question is this something that should be in a museum someplace, or can I still get some use out of this?
you're probably going to be better off putting it in a museum. I believe that one is probably a Super 8 camera.
Okay.
Now, it is still possible to get Super 8 film, but it's sort of become the place for the aficionado to do it because it's rather expensive and the processing of the film itself is rather expensive.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Brian in Madison, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
Or I guess it's afternoon.
Afternoon, yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian. I have two quick questions because you answered my shutter lag question. I did a lot of pictures with film, and I want to go digital, but it doesn't look to me like the quality of the pictures that I see people bring out digitally is as good as what I see for sharpness with film. It may be because of the lenses I'm using as compared to the most of the snapshots people are taking. So my question is, how many megapixels will give me that sharpness that I'm used to? And my second question is, will there be any problem with using my old Canon lenses on a new Canon body, a digital body?
First of all, to answer your last question, if you have an autofocus Canon camera,
yes,
then no, there won't be a problem. Although there'll be one little issue we can address in a second. The question of megapixels, in a certain sense, is not going to be too important. For you to get the quality you're looking for, though, I don't think a compact digital camera is going to do what you want. And it doesn't exactly have to do with the quality of the lenses because there are some remarkably good lenses on small digital cameras. But what happens with those compact digital cameras is that the chip that takes the picture, the little CCD or CMOS chip that acts like a piece of film in the back of that camera, is much, much smaller than the piece of film you're used to using. And then the digital SLRs, that little chip that takes the picture, is nearly three times larger than the one in a compact digital camera. That's why I personally would prefer using a 6-megapixel SLR-type camera than I would even a 12-megapixel compact camera.
I see.
Although I spend a lot of time using both types of camera because they have their advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. And then lenses. And you said, what's the little addition for the lenses?
The little addition or the little caveat is that the size of the chip in almost all of the digital SLR cameras, certainly the most affordable ones, is a lot smaller than a piece of 35-millimeter film. So your lenses, the lenses you have for your old 35-millimeter camera act a little bit differently on there. They crop in a little bit almost. So that what used to be a wide-angle lens for you now is now a normal or telephoto lens even.
Okay, so takes a little getting used to then.
Right, right. That's why some of the kit lenses that come with these SLRs are very short in focal length.
Thanks again, Brian. On to Justin in Marshfield. Your turn now. Hi, Justin.
Afternoon. I have a question about, I've got a Nikon D70, and last year I bought the 18-200mm lens for that camera, and at 200 millimeters, it can focus down to about 9 inches, which is, you know, almost like a macro lens. I was wondering what advantages I could get out of getting a dedicated macro lens.
Well, there'd be a few advantages to a dedicated macro lens. You'd get closer yet. You'd have to really sort of make some big enlargements, but you probably would notice that larger enlargements, especially in the corners of the frame, that the dedicated macro lens would actually be sharper. But the big advantage is these dedicated macro lenses are not zoom lenses. And because of that, they are what we refer to as faster lenses. They let a lot more light through the lens at any one instant, which means you'll also be working with much faster shutter speeds. So when you get really close to something, you will be able to use much faster shutter speeds and much more likely to get a sharp picture.
Okay, lower f-stop,
yep,
then, because at 200 millimeters I max out at 5.6, I think, f5.6.
Right. Right, and macro lens is probably an f2.8 generally, which is four times more light getting through the lens at any one instant than you can do with your other lens. And also, let's say you're photographing a bug that on a flower that doesn't want to hold still. Well, now you're certainly going to be glad that you get that faster shutter speed.
Okay.
Plus those wider aperture lenses are good general purpose lenses too. Some make perfect portrait lenses.
Okay, right. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Peter in Stoughton, on to you. Hi, Pete.
Good day. You started to cover this in part, I guess, while I was away from my phone. I'm wondering if you could tell me about the physical or mechanical reasons for shutter lag. I may have my camera pre-focused and this and that and everything else, and I don't understand. Is it a matter of waking up the computer or that's in the camera? Can you tell me about the physics there? Or
sure.
The camera takes a few steps before you take the picture. A big one is the focusing that it does. They check the white balance often, which is basically they're checking the color of the light and trying to balance your picture to a neutral color. Unless, you override that for some reason, and then you sort of risk the chance of getting colors that are not exactly right, but maybe not way off, and then it needs to calculate exposure. And for whatever reason, then the other thing that would happen is, especially if you were trying to take consecutive picture, the computer processor in the camera would then need to process picture number one before you could go on and save it to memory before you could go on to picture number two. And while it was doing all of those things, that's where the shutter lag initially came from. Now that most of those things can happen very quickly, in today's cameras, it's mostly getting the focus right that takes time.
So do you hold down your shutter or you hold your button down partway before you snap the picture?
In essence, that's what I'm certainly suggesting to do, is hold it down partway, because it also helps you reduce the risk of getting blurry pictures, because when I hand people cameras, I frequently see them stab that button all the way down wanting to get a picture instantly, and they're not too steady at holding that camera then.
I have one other quick question, sure, which you may or may not know the answer to. How can I determine whether or not my rechargeable batteries are still good for a full charge? I've reached a point with some of them where, okay, it seems to last about 10 minutes and then it's gone. Is there any way other than finding out the hard way in the camera whether or not the battery has lost its ability to recharge?
Actually, in a sense, that is about the best way I find to do it. But I end up replacing, especially with my AA rechargeable batteries, I end up replacing them every 3 to 5 years because they do eventually lose their ability to hold a charge. And how long they hold a charge actually and how long they last, it has to do not only with the quality of the battery, but also with the quality of the charger you're using.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. So there's differences in the quality of chargers, eh?
Yes, there are. There are two basic, especially for AA batteries, two basic types of charger. And neither is necessarily that much better than the other. But one is a timer-controlled charger where you put your batteries on the charger and plug it in, and it just charges for a certain amount of time regardless of how much charge they need and regardless of whether they're fully charged or not. It will just shut off. And often what I have seen from looking at packages for these is that the charger is actually designed to charge different batteries than comes in the package with the charger. And the other type of charger is what is called a smart charger, which often has one, two, or sometimes even four circuits in it that tests each battery as it charges it and doesn't shut off until the battery is actually full.
Okay, so that's probably the better one.
Yes, they in general are, but they tend to be the more expensive chargers.
Sure. Yeah. Richard in Lake Tomahawk, your turn now. Hi, Richard.
Hi, good morning. I have found a kind of a treasure trove of family history. It was a box that has about 50 rolls of 36 exposure, 35 millimeter film. That's from what I can detect, from about the 40s to the 60s. And they're wound pretty tight. And I would like to incorporate them into a written text of family history, and I'd also like to preserve them. So, but I don't have the capacity or I don't have the knowledge to print them, although I was left with an enlarger and the pans and everything like that. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, but the issue that I want to know is how can I get them to be quite more relaxed? They're so tight after having been stored for these years. I was wondering if rewashing them would be a good idea and then weighting them?
I think you can actually do it without rewashing them. Rewashing them in like a final rinse solution that they would normally go through when you develop black and white film may not hurt them, but I think it's an extra step you probably don't need to take.
Okay.
And really in the long run, what you're going to need to do is probably just flatten them. I would buy of appropriate size, because the width of this film hasn't changed, even though the frame size is radically different, probably, mm-hmm. than what people are very different than what people are using now. The width of that film probably has not changed, and you can easily find archival pages to put those in.
Are they the plastic ones?
Yes.
I did buy those, and
you're going to have a difficult time getting them in there because of how much they're curled.
Yeah,
what you might do, though,
was.
Is after you – well, one thing to do is after you slice them into the appropriate lengths, actually between frames, just nip the corners down a little bit. Because what's probably happening is the corners are getting stuck, and you're going to have to flatten them for I don't know how long, but probably quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you could do from there is, instead of developing each print, there's a couple steps you could take. One would be having a more custom photo lab make you contact sheets, where mm-hmm. that sheet is just laid on a piece of black and white paper, and you end up with a little picture the exact same size as that negative, so you at least have something to see. From there, it is possible to enlarge those things. You could have a lab do it, which does get a little bit expensive. You could warm up the darkroom and do that yourself. Or potentially actually either scan them yourself or have them scanned.
Okay.
Because some of today's flatbed scanners do a decent job.
That would be a different scanner, though, from you mean of the contact print.
You could either scan the contact print or the negative.
Which would give me better resolution, or wouldn't it matter?
It would probably be, in this case it may not matter, but it would theoretically be the negative.
Okay.
But again, if they're still going to have a little curl in them, they may be so hard to handle that you're going to be better off doing that contact print. And they may not be perfect prints, but it'll certainly give you something.
Mm-hmm.
And you could either print those yourself, you could put them on regular paper, inkjet photo paper, or even have many of today's mini labs print those for you into a regular photographic print.
Because they could enlarge them without lessening the resolution a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One other question is on the scanner for the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a different type of scanner from the scanner that we generally use, isn't it?
Yes and no. You could use a dedicated film scanner, but one that would they tend to be rather expensive in specialized pieces, and one that would do the type of film you're likely to have, which I'm guessing is not 35 millimeter film, but roll film. Those are very expensive.
Okay.
And it's a time-consuming process that way, too. But many of today's flatbed scanners, just like you would use for the print, have a light source in the lid so that they can also backlight the whatever you put on there.
Oh.
So they're designed to do negatives or transparencies.
Okay.
And while I would personally rather use the dedicated film scanner, some of those flatbeds, without getting very expensive, do a really nice job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And on to Gary in Black Creek. Hi, Gary.
Hello. I've got a couple old Nikon FTN cameras, I think about 1975 vintage. That's a camera with a large removable viewfinder, and, it's kind of heavy. But neither of the light meters are working on it, and I took it to a camera repair place a couple years ago, and they said it'd be, next to impossible to get parts to repair it. Is that true?
Does seem likely, as a matter of fact. Yes, what would be happening is they would basically be taking parts from another old FTN. There wouldn't be any new parts left, and unfortunately, so many of the cameras of the age of what you have are in sort of the same boat that you're in, where their light meters have quit working.
So,
although it's not unlikely to find one with a working light meter.
But getting a new parts to it wouldn't be too easy, or
It would be rather difficult.
Okay, so I guess I'd have more likely just get a good light meter and use them without
And unfortunately, the bad news is a lot of the good but inexpensive light meters, because demand has dropped so much, aren't available any longer.
Oh, okay.
But, those are also going to be readily available on the used market.
Okay.
It'll take a little bit of looking, but they're certainly available. Mm. And if you have, and the lenses you have for your cameras are probably very good, so
yeah,
I encourage you to really
keep
using it.
Quite a few accessories, so it'd be...
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that answers my question.
All right, Gary, thanks.
Sure, bud.
Selena in Kadot, hi to you.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And my question today would be, I'm looking for some advice on buying my first digital camera. Kind of what I'm afraid of happening, spending $300-$400 and then finding out that the camera doesn't take as good as pictures as my old 35 millimeter.
What kinds of pictures do you like to take?
I like to take pictures of my daughter and pets and family, kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
I think it's actually going to be quite possible for you to get a camera that will do that. If you've been using like a compact 35 millimeter camera. Today's digital cameras, most of them can do all of that and more. Mm-hmm. But much like we used to find with 35 millimeter film, getting the pictures you like often turns into getting really good film processing and good picture processing.
Okay.
If your kids are in sports, just make sure you get one that's going to have a long enough zoom lens. And
right, that was my question regards to zoom. One camera I had looked at that it seemed good and I liked it. It was a Panasonic Lumix TZ3, I believe it was.
Sure, very nice little cameras.
And that one had 10 times optical zoom.
Yes, and some of those can be great for sports. They're particularly nice for outdoor sports.
Okay.
A lot of the times we have a little trouble with those indoors just because even though, again, that gymnasium seems like it has a lot of light in it, the camera certainly doesn't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a very nice little camera, and I bet you could get pretty good results from that.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Selena. And Ben in Appleton, I think, is next. Ben, hi.
Hi, I've got a Sony F828 camera, and I've got two really quick questions. One, because it's an attached lens, it's classified as a point-and-shoot,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering if there's a telescopic, or I heard earlier they were talking about scopes and attachments. Is there any specific ones that work better for that camera?
In terms of that spotting scope, I don't think there would be one, because the way you're going to attach your camera to that scope is going to be a lot different than the way the gentleman who was going to use his EOS mm-hmm. digital to attach it to it.
Okay.
I know a lot of people actually simply hold the camera up to the spotting scope. One
okay.
neat thing about that is if you can look at a spotting scope in a showroom, you could actually try that out yourself to see okay. how well your camera is going to react to that.
Okay.
There are also people out there who sell custom-made attachments. They machine them themselves in their own home workshops and sell them for attaching digital cameras to spotting scopes.
Okay. My other quick question was, I was at a Brewer game recently, and I was trying to take a picture of the Jumbotron, mm-hmm. and it was hit and miss. I mean, half the time the scoreboard wouldn't show up, and half the time it would. Is there a reason that it wouldn't work like that? I tried adjusting shutter speeds and all this, and then a couple days later I was able to take perfect pictures of hummingbirds and stuff. So
yeah.
There could be several reasons for it, and I wish I could pin down one of them for you, because I'm not sure exactly. I haven't thought about what Jumbotrons are made out of in a while, because, for instance, taking pictures of video monitors and LCD monitors can be a little bit tricky, because even CRT screens, for instance, flicker in ways that your eyes don't pick up and the camera can. And that might be some of what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would a film camera wouldn't pick that up then?
Might not, but it still actually, at the same time, still might pick it up.
Okay. Okay. There's no tips then that might help or to take pictures of stuff like that? Or
it's interesting, because when you were taking that picture, was the screen coming out just black? And how is the rest of the exposure?
The picture showed up black, or it would have streaks or bars in it, or completely out of focus. But on the view screen, it showed up perfect.
Okay. The streaks and the bars going through it are probably have to do with the way that type of screen, that Jumbotron, actually refreshes its image.
Okay.
It turning out black might be just for some reason it was fooling the camera with its exposure, fooling
okay.
it, the exposure.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. And Bob in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Well, okay. I've got a whole bunch of money wrapped up in film cameras, including a Canon 650 EOS.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm considering buying the body of a digital version of that and using my lenses. But the guest commented just a little while ago that the lenses really don't do the same thing on two different cameras, and I'm wondering, they're very expensive, those 6-foot or the EOSs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm debating getting like a 10x regular digital camera instead. What do you recommend?
Well, if you don't mind using a larger camera like your SLR, I would still recommend sticking with one of those. You'll really enjoy the way a digital operates. Compared to using a smaller one.
Yeah.
They act a little quicker. Your lenses still will, you'll get used to the look being a little bit different when you look through the viewfinder. You know, you won't get quite as much in the picture, but you'll get used to that, and you'll still really enjoy the way the camera operates compared to using a small one with a 10x zoom.
Yep.
Although you might get used to both. Just give serious thought to getting one of those shorter focal length lenses, like their kit lens that's often with the camera.
And good luck to you. Thanks, Bob. And Brian, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
The time flew, and you'll sure be back has. Again. We'll do it again.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. In the meantime, take a look at the Camera Company's website at cameracompany.com, cameracompany.com. Brian Carlos is store manager for the Camera Company. It's on Odana Road in Madison. Thanks to him, and thanks to you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.